Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is the Zabe Cast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. All right, Mr. X joins us on a Wednesday for Thursday edition of the Zabe Cast. Mr. X, good evening, sir. How are you tonight?
Good. Good.
Are you prepared for me to piss off every football-loving listener we have by talking baseball for the first 10 minutes of our visit tonight?
You're the boss.
Are you enthused at all about this curveball I've thrown you? But I have to talk about this. Holy shit. I've got to talk about what happened with the umpiring in the Astros-Padres game the other night, because it was so galactically horseshit, and I don't even like the Astros. And I got to talk about it. This is on. You got Houston Scotty on the line. You guys both love baseball, so at least we got that going for us. Normally, Scotty, have as much use for your unsolicited umpire text messages on our text thread as a priest with a Playboy. But you know what? When it gets as bad as it was the other night, I'm like, holy shit, what is going on? So, Mr. X, I dare ask you, did you see this? But you've already been ripped by a listener and I sent you the email for not knowing everything that I know when it comes to the world of sports. You have watched the video and read at least a cursory summary of last night's debacle, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
No, I'm okay. I don't know where we're going to go, but I know that what happened last night.
Okay. So anyway, Altuve.
And let me guess. Shirey thinks the world is still conspiring against the Astros.
Not the world, just New York. And that's all it takes, right, Shirey?
No. Just Major League Baseball, exactly.
Right, just Major League Baseball Incorporated as affiliated officers and anyone involved with the Yankees. Not a world conspiracy. Scotty is not a nut. He's just a psycho. Don't you know the difference?
Yeah, but he's our psycho.
I love it. I love it, X. Okay. Good to hear you, brother.
All right. So, go ahead, so boss. All right. So Altuve gets kicked out of the game because he fouled a pitch off his toe. And he then took his shoe and his sock off to show the umpire, and he got tossed for showing a sock. He did not curse. He did not bump. He did not spit. He just was like, look, it hit my foot. You can see my big toe, my Sergeant Hulka toe was what, bruised or red, or the toenail was cracked. I don't know what proof he had on his foot. But this umpire, first of all, I thought Mr. X replay was going to fix all this shit.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the I'd have tossed him for doing that as well. It's ridiculous to think you can show up an ump and say, let me take off myself. By the way, we all know he had a buzzer that probably connects to his shoe and makes his foot red. Oh, God.
You don't really believe that, do you?
Well, that's only because he didn't have an Apple Watch 10. If he'd have had that, it would have been perfectly fine by Rob Manfred. But we won't go there today. Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Mr. X, I must stop for a moment. Do you really believe the buzzer?
No.
No.
Okay. Good. I'm just checking.
No. X is.
I got to check. No, I don't know. Sometimes people believe this shit. I don't know.
No. X has a great point because he's always stood by the fact that if this team didn't win, nobody would care. And that's one of the reasons that he and I get along so beautifully is this is a team that won and kept winning, and that's what drives everybody crazy about this.
Okay.
He said all along, if this was the Cincinnati Reds or insert below 500 team here, no one would give two dams about it. But because they can focus on a 5'4" little guy who absolutely destroys dreams in the postseason for other teams, that's what they dial in on. The thing I read today that was interesting is they asked him about it before the game today. He said, when you take a foul ball off your hand, you take your batting glove off and show him, look at what this is on my hand. There's redness, there's swelling, whatever.
Really?
You can do that. And yes, you can take your batting glove off and said, hey, they hit me here, and nobody gets thrown out of the game. But this crew has thrown not one, not two, not three, but four Astros players and or coaches out of the game in the last two games of the three-game series in San Diego. So they're very, very hurt.
About time they start behaving, isn't it?
All right, so here is what blows me away. The announcers on the call, as soon as he hits it, say, and Altuve fouls it off his foot. Foul ball still in play. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute. No, they're saying that was in play, and that's the third out. And I thought, well, this is an easy fix. This is why we have Satan's toolbox known as replay. Why didn't they easily say, whoa, 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 off his foot? I could see it went off his foot on the video replay.
X, you want to handle that? Because I know the answer to that, but I'd rather get your
did they review it? First,
no, go for it.
First of all, Scotty, did they review it?
No, because it's not reviewable.
Okay, great. The umpire at the plate also was implored by your skipper to ask either the first or third base umpire for help.
Yep.
He refused like a fucking asshole. Didn't even ask. Hey, you know what? Well, wait, what's the matter, Mr. X? He's not supposed to ask for help?
That's not the way the rule works. It's not the way the rule works.
How's the rule work?
First and foremost, you can always, at any time, at any situation, you may always ask an umpire who makes a call if he is willing to check with his partners. He then can say, I will do that, and it's often a courtesy. But if he feels he had the play right, he has every right to say, nope, I've got this. There's no rule that says you do that.
Okay. So you're not
and
entitled.
If he said, I've got this.
Okay.
Now, would it have been good? Now, by the way, the one of the hardest, look, I don't want to stick up for it, but one of the hardest play, the plate umpire with a 100-mile-an-hour heater coming in, foul ball off the shoe, there's only, you know how you call that play? Did the guy jump up and down and act like it hurt? And if so, you usually assume he's either a hell of an actor or it hit him. If he doesn't act, you assume it missed him. You can't tell when it nicks his toe. Oh, let's go ask the guy who's 100 feet away if he saw it hit his toe.
He might have heard it.
You can't do that.
He might have heard a tap, tap.
Well,
the difference between hitting a shoe and hitting the ground, there's no sound there.
In general, I understand, Mr. X, but the announcers had it right away. And they're all the way up in the booth.
Well, they're looking at a video. Yeah, no,
they're not. They're looking at the. I don't think they're looking at the video. I mean,
well,
okay.
If there's calls I'm gonna miss in life, that's one of them.
Okay,
that's all
well,
I'm saying.
All right.
So to that end, if I may be so bold, to that end, where is the humility at the home plate umpire to say, maybe I didn't get the right angle on this. Let me check with the guy down at first base who has an actual line seeing the foot and the ball.
And how it comes off and how it spins and how it rolls.
Instead, what do we get? We get umpires with the, I can do whatever the, pardon my language, the fuck I want,
right,
which is actually a quote from an umpire five or 6 years ago when he was challenged about something. And that's what you get in Major League Baseball right now.
We get the ump show is what we got. Like,
we
you
get the
thought,
ump show.
You would have thought, Mr. X, that the vehemence of the Astros protests would have convinced an umpire who just wanted to get the call right, which obviously half of these assholes don't, that the vehemence of their protest would have warranted, okay, hold on a second, let's huddle up here.
Yeah, the usual thing you do in that situation for appeasing everybody is you get together and you say, look, guys, I don't think it hit him. Unless any of you clowns are 100% sure I'm wrong, I'm sticking with it.
Right.
And that's what they do. Give them a chance to go, yeah, dude, I'm 100% sure you're wrong. Give them the chance, and anything short of that, you let it roll.
Right. There is
but
also
the beauty of this is this was the preview. This was the preview of an even worse set of calls about to be made in the bottom of the ninth and in the 10th inning. It was literally the precursor for
it. So there's several other things. So pitch clock is one of Shirey's favorite things, Mr. X. He loves it so much. It has shortened his time at Minute Maid Park or Enron Field, whatever they're calling it now. NRG. Now, what is it now?
It's Minute Maid Park.
Still Minute Maid. Okay.
Yes. They still make orange juice, and nobody's been convicted of fraud at Minute Maid yet. So I think we're okay.
Give it time. he hates the pitch clock, and the pitch clock ended up getting Hader clearly stepping off the mound with 2 seconds left and gets called for a pitch clock violation. The review took 5 minutes to sort out. Never mind the fact they couldn't review the ball off of Altuve's foot, but they spent 5 minutes on this. What was the outcome?
A wild pitch with a runner on third. The runner scores. Now we have a 3-3 ball game to go into the 10th after Hader. And it was actually two outs, so that would have been interesting how that played out. But there you go. We go into extra innings, which is another favorite thing that Manfred created was the ghost runner, which is the Never mind. I don't want to stroke out on the podcast.
Worst thing ever. Okay. Also, there was a Jerkson Profar hit by pitch. That was a clear whiff. How come they didn't fix that with replay, Mr. Fung?
Yeah, that one looked pretty easy. I give you that one. That one looked pretty easy. Hey,
and,
Dave,
and
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, my question is this. Have you ever seen a player that had not been hit by a pitch protest not being hit by the pitch and the umpire say, no, you were hit by a pitch, take your base? I've never seen that. Honestly, I've never seen a guy argue that. Usually it's like, let me take the gear off. Let me walk to first base. Profar wanted the shot because all it took was a base hit to tie the game.
So Profar tried to turn down the free base?
Absolutely tried to turn down. He said, no, I didn't get hit. And the umpire basically said, yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
And then when they sent it, they sent it to New York for a replay.
That's not as uncommon as you might think, even though the man – if you get ticked on the shirt, you don't feel it. And somebody says you got hit and you're like, oh, shit, didn't feel it.
Right.
That's not that uncommon. By the way, Zabe, I got to digress for a second. It just reminded me of, the whole rule about when umpires get together to talk reminds me of a Little League Majors game where X3 and X4 were umpiring.
Oh, boy.
And it was like one of those line drive, bases loaded, shoestring catch, then throw it in, look around, blah, blah, blah. And then the coach says he didn't catch the ball. And so X3 and X4 huddle up. And he says, X3 says to X4, did you see him catch it? He said, I have no idea. And X3 says, I have no idea either, but I've never seen a triple play. Let's go with it. So they ruled it a triple play.
The fact that two of your boys were umpiring together a little league game is going to keep me up at night, at least for a couple nights.
Hey, I made all the kids spend time umpiring because little leaguers spend all their time bitching about umpires, and then when you umpire, you know, the younger kids, you're like, oh shit, you have a different perspective.
Makes you appreciate that, hey, exactly, calls get missed and shit's hard. Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, so Profar's like, no, I didn't get hit, which it clearly showed. You said they sent that to New York for review. Yep. Why can you review hit by pitch but not foul off your foot?
I don't know. I'm not Rob Manfred. No, I don't make the rules. I don't make the rules.
For fuck's sake. Now that leads us.
I have a great friend of mine who literally texted me and said, "Shirey, you've been right all along. I'm sorry I argue with you about replay in baseball. It's absolutely atrocious. It's a 50-50 shot with these guys. You never know what you're going to get. I'm done with it. This was the end of it because it was so obvious that it was missed. But anyway, go ahead.
All right. So then that brings us to the merciful conclusion because people are right now screaming at me saying nobody gives a shit. But look, I'm here to tell you, kind listener, you should give a shit because this stuff is ruining sports. All right. It's ruining all sports. And the arrogance of Major League umpires has got to be burnt to the ground. These assholes. Yeah. Angel Hernandez retired. That's one asshole. There's more out there. This umpire, I did not know his backstory. Do tell. Do tell, Shirey. His name. Shame him and name him.
I don't remember his name because I don't remember. The only one I remember is C.B. Buckner. But I do know
this guy's name and his backstory during the pandemic and with some other off-the-field stuff. If you don't know this, you fucked up the whole bit and I'm deleting it. Jesus, Shirey.
I don't remember the umpire's name. I apologize for forgetting the guy's name. You know what? I've already forgotten his name. But in any case, this guy in 2020 decided he did not want to umpire during the pandemic because it was too dangerous. And because of the union, he got paid in full and never umpired a full game, which now that I think about it after last night's game, maybe that was a blessing.
Okay, so, I guess so. But there's that. What about the off-the-field shit?
The off-the-field shit was he's in Ohio and apparently got caught in a raid where there were some unsavory activities involving sex workers and got arrested. And there's
Brennan,
mugshot in front of him.
Brennan Miller is the umpire's name.
Okay. There you go. Okay. There you go.
So Brennan Miller sex arrest. All right. Now look, yes. A simple sex arrest probably shouldn't, you know, make a guy lose his job. But when you add it all up, this guy's a clown and should be out of baseball. The robo umps. That was a strike. I'm sorry. Ball four. Take your base. They can't come soon enough. Can they?
No.
Okay.
No interest in those things. None. None.
It'll make the game go faster because we won't have to worry about the gesticulation after the third called strike.
Yeah, there's that. Mr.
Hey, look at that. Tatis just hit a home run. Well, there you go. Hopefully he got it juiced out the ballpark. Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry, my bad.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Oops.
All right. Very good. Scotty, good luck to your Astros the rest of the way, and may the umpires stop fucking you guys left and right.
Love you, mean it.
All right, there you go. That's my boy Houston Scotty. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's just a complete disaster last night on multiple fronts. And I'm just surprised you're not more outraged yourself, Mr. X, that Major League umpiring remains so shitty.
I don't know. I'm a numbers guy. The number of calls all the time, the handful that we pick out, I'm just a little more tolerant of mistakes.
I guess so. But these should be fixable. These are very binary calls. Did it hit the guy or not?
Yeah.
And replay shows pretty clearly now. There's so many cameras, so much slow motion. Are you okay with the celebration penalty that almost cost the Falcons on Monday night?
I have no idea what you can and can't do anymore. I have no idea.
All right, but do you want?
I saw that.
Do you want
tweet
them?
Of yours.
Do you want them calling that in that situation? That's the only question.
I don't want, I have, I don't have any issue with most of these celebrations. You know, there's obviously a couple line crossers.
I didn't ask that. I asked, do you want umpires calling or you want referees calling ticky-tack shit that decides games?
But I also don't like the the taunt to a unsportsmanlike if you do something towards a player, and I think they call that way too much. These guys are, they don't mind. You know, the defender doesn't mind as much as the referee does.
Okay. Well, I just think that what's weird is that there's some people at my radio station that insist on if it's a rule, it's a rule.
Sure.
And you got to call it in the first minute, and you got to call it in the last minute.
Well, I don't have an issue with calling the rules when it's a rule. I thought we were talking about, do we like the rule?
Well,
are two different things.
Well, No. Some rules are on the books,
right,
but should not be called unless it is particularly egregious. Just like there's some laws on the books that are never enforced. Jaywalking would be one of them. It needs to be a law to have it on the books, kind of just in case. So if somebody's really egregious, you can hit them with something. But you're really not supposed to go out looking for it, is the point.
Well, the NFL in the last few years has tried to take all judgment out of these penalties, from grounding, et cetera. It
and
used
that's
to just be your better. Judgment of did he throw it in the ground?
No, right.
It's, well, if you've done this, 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 and this, because they're trying to remove judgment. And make it very meticulous what qualifies. So that's kind of their trend, and that's kind of what they've done. I saw where you posted the celebration rules and what you can and can't do. So they're just trying to take all judgment out of it and make these refs,
right,
robots.
Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. All right, so we'll start with an email. This one from Eric Supli. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Thank you for including your name. Honest feedback is fine. Zabe, I usually enjoy all your regulars, and they grow on me. However, I have had the opposite occur with Mr. X. He will be a skip for me for a bit. My dislike is threefold. One, he's not informed. You ask him if he's seen or heard something, and it's generally a no. Two, he hedges and doesn't give an opinion. You give Scott a hard time about sitting on the fence. Well, all X does is sit every week. He repeats why he doesn't have a feel until game time, while most of his lines don't move much unless there's a QB injury. I don't understand why we need to hear him repeat that perspective each and every time. Three, he moves the goalposts. Week one, he said, and I went back to re-listen, Ravens and under, 47 as the over-under. That should be a push and a loss based on what he said. I shopped and could not get 47. 46 and a half was the over-under on my bookie, DraftKings, FanDuel, MGM, and ESPN bet. Regardless, he says 1-1 with a win on the under and a loss on the Chiefs. I don't care whether anyone is right or wrong, but to move the goalpost consistently is annoying. Never mind his sentiment that the Ravens would have covered, but for an inch, which would have lost the over-under, so who cares? Apologies for the lengthy note. In summary, more J, less X. Signed, Eric. Mr. X?
Well, if I'm going to get that kind of grief, I could go back downstairs and let a professional do it here.
Don't tell Mom.
No. You know what? I actually responded to that guy. I copied on you.
I saw it. I saw the response. I'll let you respond here on the podcast. You responded professionally but firmly, defending your position. Can I just speak as your court-appointed attorney for a second?
Wow. I feel like I'm better off defending myself, but go ahead.
One, you are living your best life in Maine, basically retired, with a boat, jet skis, and you're pursuing your full-time passion, hobby, side hustle of handicapping and betting on games. You don't know everything that I know. I see a lot of stuff every day, because that's what I do. And I should give you a heads up on, boom, did you see this? Boom, did you see that? So that's number one in your defense. Secondly, he does repeat that these are perspectives he's giving on games on a Wednesday. Wednesday is too fucking early, except for the Thursday night game. And it's still even early for Thursday because the Thursday night participants, they don't start and practice their guys until usually on Wednesday. They get like one day of practice, usually. So it's still early, and you do repeat that. As far as the I couldn't find 47, it was 46 and a half, get the fuck out of here. That's a half a point, okay? You may not get that exact half point number. If X had quoted something that was 2.5, 3 points different than the total, you'd have a point. Don't come to me or Mr. X and say, I couldn't find your exact number. That's bullshit. Okay, the floor is yours.
Well, in my response, I actually told him I get what he's saying on points one and two. Yes, okay. You're right. I don't half the time when Zabe goes, hey, did you see what came across the wire today? I'm like, wire? You know how far? No, I didn't see what happened today or last night.
Right.
But you're asking me because you want to, hey, what's your take on this?
I know.
Sorry if I hadn't seen it. But like last week when you talked about the guy who had the bet negated and, maybe I didn't hear the story, but I certainly had 40 years of history to give you a comment on it. But anyhow, and I also, you know what? I don't remember what I've said on your podcast. The first year I did that with you, 7 years ago, I used to write down every story we told, everything, so that I never repeated anything. Hey, we're 7 years into it. I don't give a crap anymore. Okay.
And if I'm tired of hearing,
a lot of gambling stuff is good not to have a position. But the only one I want to comment on, Zabe, is the last one, because that's just completely wrong about the goalposts. And I thought it's kind of hypocritical because we talk about repeating some things. Well, there's something you and I obviously have to repeat again, which I didn't think I had to, but maybe we do. When you make a bet, like you and I both took under 47 on Wednesday. Now, come game time, it might be 46, it might be 48. It might go for us, it might go against us. And in this case, it went the wrong way. So our, you know, we tie on 47 and he loses. Hey, that's not fair. Okay. But the point is, what if it had gone the other way up to 48 or 49? Am I then allowed to claim victory and use the closing 48-point
right
line? No, right. I can't claim it a victory. A tie. I said under 47, and it came on 47. It's a tie. How the line moves in subsequent days doesn't impact how you and I would grade our pick on when we did it. And by the way, I looked it up. That line did move to 46.5. 20 hours after we recorded. What do you want me to do about it? Okay? So that's not moving a goalpost. That's, I'm sorry, the line moved. So the repeating part is, when you and I make picks this year, and we talk about the line as it is today, if it moves, we're not taking it if it helps us, and we're not, you know, going the other way when it hurts us. It is what it is. There's no other way to score it.
Right. All right. In fairness, Eric did appreciate your candid but reasoned response, and did say he loves your story about the don't tell mom boat name. So we got that going for us.
You suck, but not as much as I said the first time.
You
okay,
suck,
whatever.
But okay, all right, okay. Well, I know this. We better start making some good fucking picks, because then they'll be like, this is doing us no good. But we're not alone in not knowing what the fuck is going on, because there has been a bloodbath of underdogs so far this season in the NFL, including heavy underdogs, although I say heavy with air quotes because we've yet to have a double-digit line through 2 weeks. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know what? Nobody's scoring any points, so it's hard to lay that number.
Is there a double-digit line this week? I haven't even looked at the slate.
I don't know.
Let me look that up. Before I'm asking you questions.
I'm uninformed.
Blind.
I don't know.
All right, so
I don't recall anything over a touchdown.
So basically, I saw the number. First of all, survivor pools have been wiped out in the first 2 weeks. And by wiped out, I mean severely crippled. Many survivor pools down to 27% left. The Circa Millions, Charge was talking about that, down to like 27% of people left, which is still a shit ton of entries. But that's a lot of teams wiped out in 2 weeks, for sure. And the underdogs have been not only winning, or not only covering, but winning outright on a number of these games. And teams that were supposed to be dog shit, like the Saints, look like juggernauts so far. So, yeah.
Yeah,
a
last
weird start
week,
to the year.
The favorites won four games and covered. Won and covered four games, that is.
That's it. Won four, lost 12.
Lost 11, tied one.
Okay. Yeah, favorites 4-11-1.
Yep. Woo-hoo! And the unders hit 11 out of the 16 also. So there was not a lot of scoring, which obviously usually favors the dogs. People aren't putting up any points. The league is turning into, how do you keep those two guys on the edges with their ears pinned back from beating our quarterback to the pocket?
Yeah, you're right. These quarterbacks don't stand a chance, is my theory, that the defensive ends and linebackers are too good. The schemes are too complicated. They're trying to do too much stuff to beat these complicated schemes. Fewer and fewer humans can process everything they're looking at in 2.4 seconds.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. And if you aren't willing to run the ball, which they're not,
no,
then you're asking for that. You know, they're asking for trouble. When you want to throw the ball 45 times a game and you're unwilling to run it, the defense doesn't respect the run anymore. You know, it's not happening by accident.
All right. You asked, should we be encouraging a mailbag?
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to answer questions. Hopefully there'll be a little, you know, more of a question and less of a blast, but that's okay.
Okay. If yeah, you want to, if you got, got a question for Mr. X, fire it in. You can email me, zabe@yahoo.com. Do you have an email at callmemrx.com?
Yeah, you can say ask Mr. X at callmemrx.com.
Okay. There you go. Sure. 64.7%. What does that refer to?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was my note in there about the guy, you know. That was what I hit last year on the website in the NFL.
Oh.
64.7, which very, you know, people on the pod are always suspicious. You've never had a website subscriber send you a note and say anything other than the tracking is perfect. 64.7 was last year. You know, it is what it is.
Is that your best year ever?
God, I would think so. I would think so.
Okay. And that's on the NFL.
Say that again?
And that's on the NFL.
That was the NFL. Okay. Yes.
All right. All right. We talked about last week's games in the NFL. Favorites, 4-11-1 overs. Just went 5-11, and the public went 2-3.
Yes, on my chart, yes.
All right. Some other notes from you. Kickers are crazy now. How so?
I mean, back to your whole
crazy thing. Good?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. These guys are just drilling 60-yarders left and right. Guys are playing for field goals from 56. They're, I mean, the Commanders pick up a guy off the street, and he goes 7 for 7.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. The coaches are more comfortable now kicking 55-yarders.
Yeah.
But they're turning down more than ever easy chip shots on fourth and really not easily convertible like Sirianni did on 4th and 4. So they're kind of going both ways on this. It's, you know, turning down points, being too aggressive, going for it on 4th downs that are not easy pickups. And 4th and 4 is not an easy pickup. I don't know what the numbers are, but it's not easy. And then they're willing to kick 55-yarders because these kickers are good. Mike Tirico, the great Mike Tirico, had a great line. He said after the 55-yarder, I think early in the game by Koo, he's like, you know, kickers and 50-yarders, it used to be like drives in golf of 300 yards. It used to be a real special thing. Now it's commonplace. 50-yarders are commonplace.
Yeah. I mean, these guys aren't just hitting them. They're hitting them by a mile. But Sirianni went for 4th and 4 from the 8-yard line in a 0-0 game. What the hell?
Made sense to him at the time.
What's wrong with going up 3-0?
It's cowardly. You're not tough.
You know, the 4, and as you know, the 4 is a lot different inside the 10 than it is, you know, out in the field where you have room. The yards get tougher. I watched that and was like, I can't believe you're going for this.
Charge yesterday on this pod poo-pooed my notion of coaches as human beings needing affirmation and having the normal human emotions that coaches have. And I said, you know, when you're there facing a 4th and whatever and you're on the sideline and some linebacker comes up to you and is like, fuck, let's go, coach, fuck yeah, you're going to feel hard inclined to not go for it because you're a human and you're going to have to see that linebacker in the building on Monday. And Charles like, what is he, afraid of the linebacker? I go, no, he's not afraid of him, but he operates in the same human sphere as another alpha. And the coach is supposed to be alpha with his decisions and everything else. And nobody wants to look like a pussy. And also making this trend of going for it when you shouldn't, statistically speaking, is the Dan Campbell effect. Do we goof on Dan Campbell for doing dumb shit? Yes. But the media still lauds him for how tough and aggressive he is, right? And the players see this and the other coaches see it. And so I'm telling you, it's shading between 5 to 10% of decisions in favor of the Dan Campbell side of things. Don't be a pussy. Go for it. That guy in Detroit does.
Well, it's funny you say that because that's what I call the phases of coaching. When you take over a really bad program, like, say, the Lions.
Yeah.
The first thing every coach always has to do is change the culture in the locker room.
Right.
You know, you have to have an organization. You have to have an attitude towards winning. You have to have always, you have to be aggressive. You have to be, you have all these, let's just call it attitude adjustments. Great. Now you got 53 guys ready to run through a brick wall for you. Great. Then later, as your team gets decent, then you got to be able to coach and stop doing stupid shit.
Right.
And just because you did the first few steps or phases is no excuse to suck at good coaching decisions like Sirianni on Monday early and late and like Campbell. And it's like, yeah, you got that team turned around and that culture turned around. Good for you. Now, how about you make a decent decision on 4th and 3?
Yeah. There was a famous book written called Scorecasting that attempted to figure out, and I think did for the most part, why do certain sports have home field advantages or home court advantages? And they ranked the home court, home field, home ice advantages in the four major sports. And the net end of the day conclusion from two smart writers for the Wall Street Journal, I think John Wertheim was one of them, was, well, the referees are human. And when they're on the road where the home team is, the fans make a big stink over every close call. Like, oh, my God! And they feel it, and they give them a few extra calls. Human nature. Until robots are out there that don't have emotions or families, they're going to lean a little bit, towards the home team.
Oh, Zabe, ever since the eye in the sky and the challenges before were one thing, but all right. The eye in the sky corrections... The home field advantage is gone.
That statistically true?
Yes.
Not with holding, though. But in football, in football, though, holding and PI are not reviewable, and those change games.
That is true. Okay, let's put it this way. The edge that you put in a point spread for home field in the NFL is a point and a half or roughly less than it was 4 years ago.
Okay. Fair enough.
There's less of a home field. It's built right into the lines. It's not as much. Most teams get 1 or 2 points for being at home. It used to be 3, 3.5.
All right. Point two, subject B, subnote I. Timeouts, Peyton/Ryan, really? ? This is where I decipher Mr. X's notes to me in an email. What about Peyton Manning and Matt Ryan?
You asked me last week, back to me being uninformed, you asked me last week if I'd watch the Manning cast, and I don't. I watch the game. This week, for reasons I do not know up here, I could not get the regular broadcast. I could only get the Manning cast.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. Somebody told me ESPN was having some, I don't know.
What service do you have, DirecTV?
No.
YouTube TV?
But I have Verizon, and I stream it.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you do. When you go Verizon. To stream it, it makes you log in with your TV provider.
Do you have DirecTV? Yes or no?
No, I do not.
Do you have YouTube TV? Yes or no?
No, I do not.
Why not?
Because I got a better service than that.
You're so fucking cheap. You really are. This is your business. And you have a boat and jet skis and you're not paying for YouTube TV. Okay, whatever. So you were watching whatever they allowed you to get via.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at the end there, and Manning's pretty smart, obviously, but they had Matt Ryan on at the end. Yeah. And
Matt Ryan apparently was selling some gibberish that neither Peyton nor Eli were with about letting the Falcons score or letting the Eagles score, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was ridiculous. That was total bad math. Yes. And Peyton kind of looked, because they're up 3, and he's like, well, if you let them score, then we can go down, we can get the field goal first, and then go on sides. And Peyton's like, or you could stop them.
Stop. I know.
Yeah. But when they had when they were talking about it on the last drive, I was shocked to see, I guess they're biased quarterbacks, but that they didn't have more sense on timeouts. There's a very, very simple rule when you're trailing in a game. You want to extend the game.
Yeah.
And what I've always said is you can hurry on offense. You can't hurry on defense.
That's a great point right there.
And when you're on defense and they're running the clock down to 1 before the snap, it's a 40-second play. A timeout on defense saves you 40
Correct.
Seconds.
Correct. They're coupons. No matter what. I call second half timeouts time coupons. And when you're trailing, you need nothing more desperately than time.
And when you are on defense and you use that coupon, you saved 40 seconds of game time. When you're on offense, it's great when you have a timeout, but it doesn't save you but 15 or 20 because you're hurrying.
Right. That's only for a completion or a running play that's not out of bounds.
Yeah.
And there are soft timeouts for incompletes, for penalties, for running out of bounds. And I think there's one other soft timeout that would count to stop the clock. But there's other timeouts that can be had if you're on offense. There's no way to stop the clock on defense. That's why you must save them.
The worst thing when you're on offense with no timeouts, the worst play is the sack because everybody's got to run back in line.
Right.
But what does it cost you? 20 seconds? 25 seconds? It's still less than 40. But Peyton and Ryan were saying, oh, I want to, on that last drive when the Falcons were using the timeouts, they said, I always wanted to save my timeouts for when we had the ball. I'm like, yeah, but you won't have any time left.
Who said that?
Both Peyton and Matt Ryan said the same thing. I don't know who was first and who copied it.
Well, of course, the quarterbacks would say they want the timeouts. Yeah. But that's
you
just
want all
because,
your timeouts in 10 seconds or you want, you know, a minute 20 and no timeouts. It was just stupid math. Well, I was really surprised at
that. The quarterbacks are biased. They want all the tools they can have at their disposal to try to win the game. So they're not thinking holistically about the entire game.
Yeah.
Number four, new generation again.
Oh, man. You know, I'm so tired of this, the way kids view things so differently. The end of that Eagle-Falcon game, as you said, when they had third down, two tush pushes, game's over. It's over. But instead, they do the play action, throw to Barkley, and he drops it. Now, in my kids' generation, the first thing they're texting me is, you're paid, don't drop the ball, it's not the coach's fault. Catch the ball. Yeah. That's how kids think. But the way I think is, the coach's job is to think for everyone, not just one thing. And you know what happens? Sometimes people drop passes. Sometimes people slip and fall.
Yeah.
Sometimes a quarterback gets the ball batted down or a holding penalty. It's the coach's job to say, look at the math here. Run two tush pushes, this game's over. Instead of saying, well, I had a good play, but he dropped it, as I tried to tell the kids. It happens. And I was really surprised at, you know, they could have – virtually done two tush pushes and gone home, and instead they do play action, and that's on the coach. I don't care that Barkley dropped it and should have caught it. There's no reason to make that play.
Yeah, I got a text from my boy Jonesy, and he said, I can't stand Sirianni either, but I think he was in the right because there's probably 55 seconds left if they run and don't get a first down and kick the field goal. Atlanta scored in 1:05. Yeah, but they would have been under much more pressure to do so. And like you said, stuff happens passing. He also says, you know what, sometimes guys fumble and whatever. They fumble far less than a pass is incomplete, that's for sure. Charch yesterday on this podcast said that Barkley has some of the best hands in the NFL, which got me a text from my boy Dan Purcell, big Giant fan from upstate New York, saying, I love Charch, but you got to take him to task for this. And he called up most drops among running backs since 2021. Saquon Barkley, number one. 19.
Yes, he's number one on drops.
Yeah.
Maybe he has good hands, but he ain't using them. But just keep in mind, remember, everyone says, oh, they'd have kicked the field goal if they didn't. No, I'm saying
you could have gone for two.
Push twice.
Right. Right
on fourth down, and you talk about all the downside. Have you watched the Philly tush push? The Falcons had no ability to stop that. They were defending it wrong. They were doing the whole jump on the pile,
right,
and let him carry you up and down the street, which is no way to stop it. They would have never stopped that.
Even with a failed tush push, and the 5 to 10 seconds, maybe that would have exhausted on the clock, would have run it down under a minute. Ball is at the 9-yard line or something.
Yeah, they would have been down close to the 5. If they stopped him twice, they'd have taken over on the 5 with, you know, about 50 seconds left.
Even down 3,
even
up 3 if you're the Eagles, I like my chances a lot because teams that only need 3 aren't as aggressive as those that need 7. and you defend more aggressively, which the Eagles did not do, because you have to defend against the 40-yard line, not the goal line. So a lot of things would have changed had they done two runs and still failed. They're still up three. Of all the decisions that could have been made, they ended up making the one that had the highest risk if it didn't work, and it did not work.
Yep. And hey, I was on the Falcons, and as soon as he did play, came out throwing, I'm like, yes. Thank you for giving us a chance.
Well, you know what? It goes back to what you and I. It goes back to what you and I have said before. Every now and then, stop for a second and say, what do I think the other team would want us to do right now? And I guarantee you, if you're a Falcon fan, you're saying, please pass.
Give me a chance.
Give me a chance. Just try a pass, please.
Don't ask me to stop the tush push because I can't do it.
By the way, my guy Dan's texted me. He said, sadly, it was the highlight of my weekend. Saquon dropping that as a Giant fan. We had nothing else to be happy about. All right, enough of that. Let's get to this week. Let's get to the Thursday game, and that is the Patriots against the Jets. What's our line and what's our total in this game, knowing that the numbers may change by the time you go to wager on it?
Well, let's say first, last week, real quick, we both picked Buffalo and got it right. We both picked the under and got it right.
You sure about that?
No. I'm not sure about that.
We did both pick Buffalo. I'll check the under in a second. Real quick on Tua, because this is our first chance to talk since Tua. Do you have any thoughts on what, A, he should do, or what, B, he will do? He said already, I'm not retiring, and he's currently seeing a concussion specialist. I've not seen the injury reports yet about whether he's playing this week. I would assume no.
I don't know how you move forward with that guy. I mean, it wasn't even a hit. It was a normal play that's going to happen every game. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to come out wearing one of those gigantic helmets like Kazoo on the Flintstones. I don't know.
You know, I saw a guy wearing one of those in the game the other day, and I was like, fucking A, this league.
Yeah.
This league is going straight down the pussy chute. But okay. Yeah, so...
No, it did go under last week. We both had Buffalo and the under.
Well, fucking A, yeah. 2-0,
so we're 1-1 in the games, and in the winners. That's what I was writing here. And in the totals, we got it right this week, and we had pushed last week. So I don't care what, you know, the move said.
All right.
So we swept it last week. Good. All right, so this week... the Jets are hosting New England tomorrow.
I just checked this. Tua is on injured reserve as of two hours ago on today, Wednesday, September 18th. I'm looking at the story. Tua Tagovailoa remains a true leader even on injured reserve. This updated September 18th, that's today, 5:35 p.m. So he'll miss at least the next four games.
And how do teams that are good, good teams that think they're going to win a title go into a season, lose the QB, and go, yeah, we got Skylar Thompson. How do you go into a year with him as your two?
Well, there's not many good guys to go around as backups, and teams are cheap. They're cheaper than you when it comes to cable. They don't want to pay for a fucking backup, even if they got a jellyhead as their starter. And I like Tua. So, sorry if I'm calling him a jellyhead. I hope he gets better. I hope he is at peace with whatever decision he makes. And if he does come back to play, God help him. I really am going to cringe watching him play because this league is fucking crazy. Okay.
It is.
All right. So tonight
we have Patriots at the Jets. The Jets are laying 6.5, and the total is 38.5.
Mm.
I've gone first twice. Why don't you take a turn this week?
Look, usually by the time clear trends emerge, such as the trend of underdogs having their way, the trend disappears. It's the nightclub full of supermodels that closes by the time you get to it in the Uber. But with that said, I will take the Patriots plus the 6.5. They were very sticky and lost in overtime to the Seahawks, and they're playing in a way that makes me think, okay, whatever Gerard Mayo's got cooking, they're buying into it. And Jacoby Brissett is not going to set the world on fire, but he's a competent sort of B quarterback. Not an A, but he's a B quarterback. And so Aaron Rodgers, who struggled against the Titans last week, said, we need to start fast and run the ball more. Well, no shit. Wouldn't everyone like to do that?
Everybody wants to run the ball more. You know why? Because you don't run the ball when it doesn't work. So if you run it more, it means it worked.
Right. All right. So okay. I've got the Patriots plus, and what's our total?
38.5.
Okay. The totals are getting lower to account for the lack of scoring and passing. Yeah, I'll take that under. I'm going under the limbo bar of 38.5.
Okay, and here's what we're doing. There's a little lesson in here, Dave. It's 6.5. I'm with you, but we're going to take the Patriots and buy the half point to +7. There's no reason to play 6.5 when you can lay -120 at +7 and have that cushion. So
okay.
we're gonna do that. And I also agree with the under. And by the way, just before the show, I was watching last week's game, Tennessee and the Jets. And, you know, if it wasn't for reputation, Will Levis is a long way from an average quarterback. But he and Rodgers were about the same guy that game. You know, Rodgers did not look any better than Levis. And the Patriots can play some defense. So I definitely think catching 7 is the side there. And this week's prop is going to be, I'm taking over 2.5 catches for DeMario Douglas on the Patriots, the same wide receiver that played the whole game last week and got 0 targets. But he's in the slot, and the good defender, Sauce Gardner, will be on the outside. So I think they'll target the slot this week and try to make up for. I saw the coach sucking up to him saying, we really screwed up. We got to get him the ball more, which is what you say when you don't want guys to complain.
Right.
So that's my prop this week, over 2.5 with Douglas.
All right, very good. Rodgers did say, actually, we need to start fast and give our defense a chance to play with the lead. So he didn't say running, but still, same basic concept, you know?
Give your defense a chance to play with the lead. It's always better to be ahead than behind.
Yeah, it's like saying, you know what, I should get exercise regularly and eat healthy. That's what I should do. It's easy, right? Just do those two things. Start fast, play with a lead, and let your defense go downhill. Well, easier said than done sometimes. I know this. It's easy to go to your website, callmemrx.com. If you want more information, you can even email Mr. X directly from the website if you don't want to email me here on the podcast for your Ask Mr. X question. I think we covered a lot of ground tonight, and I had a good time talking to you and Houston Scotty. If anyone has a complaint with the content mix of tonight's podcast, please take a moment to sit down and go fuck yourself, because maybe I know what I'm doing, and that's why you're a listener. Just kidding. I always welcome feedback, and maybe the Astros umpire thing was a bit of a misdirection. Now I'm thinking about it going, well, maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know.
Yeah. And after you go fuck yourself, please sign up for Fridays.
Right. Get the Zabecast on Fridays. You are looking live, where our picks are really, really shitty right now. All right. Mr. X, is always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right. Take care. Let
it flow. It floats back to you. Something for everyone. Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new road.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie Casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.